Before we get started, I want to shout out two new businesses. The first one is The Sock Spot, where you can get all of your cool and colorful designer socks. You can find them on Instagram at the_sock_spot. And full disclosure, that is my sister's store. So make sure you check them out. The other one is Ayana Creates. She is making all of your personalized mugs, cups, bags, shirts, and other items that you may want. You can find her at Ayana, IYANA _ creates on Instagram as well. And again, full disclosure, that's my baby girl. So definitely make sure you check out those two. We'll have more shout outs as we go along. And we'll have another business of mine shouting out very soon. So we have those. The other thing we did this week for our booze, we tried something a little different.
Yeah. I was pleasantly surprised by this one. And hey, as long as it has alcohol in it, I'm going to give it a try.
Yeah, we tried local craft breweries. So the first one we tried was a Chillin' Tea. It's a hard tea from McAllister's Brewing Company. They're in New Hope, Pennsylvania.
Yeah, not too bad. It's a hard lemon tea, like about 5-6% alcohol by volume, which is pretty reasonable. As far as the flavor, it's a unique flavor. It kind of has like, you can taste some of the tea in there, but it also has like a sparkling wine, champagne-y type of taste.
Yeah.
It's an acquired one. I wasn't too thrilled with it. I mean, I can drink it, but I don't see myself running out to get more. I mean, I'm sorry. I just know what I like.
Right. I mean, and that's no problem, especially because we're not really ale drinkers at all, really.
Right.
So for us to try it, we just wanted to stretch out a little bit more and just try a little something different. And I thought it was pretty good. I didn't think it wasn't amazing, but it was pretty good. And I would definitely drink it again. So if he doesn't want it, I'll definitely drink them. I have no problem with it. So McAllister's Brewing, we will definitely try something else from you. And we thought it was pretty fun. We thought it was pretty good. The other one we tried was from Trogues Independent Brewery. They're in Hershey, Pennsylvania. And that one was a cranberry and blood orange tart ale. Now, we are not ale drinkers. We are not beer drinkers at all.
However, I like this one.
Yeah.
I like this one. This one was really good.
Yeah.
It had a hint of sweetness to it, and it had the flavor profile that I'm accustomed to, where it has a little bit of a fruit, and again, a little bit of sweet. It works for me because I have a very massive sweet tooth.
Oh, yeah. We both love the sweets.
So this one definitely was right up my alley.
Yeah. We both really liked it. I finished the can, which was great. We have 5 other cans in the fridge,
and
they'll be gone by the end of the week, definitely. So McAllister's and Trogues, we'll be trying you guys out again.
Absolutely.
So thanks a lot for having something cool locally for us.
Thank you.
All right. Up next will be our review of Escape 2120. Andrew is officially on the list. He chose this one, and he's officially on my list. I couldn't deal with it. So
look, I'm picking more. I don't care.
No.
I'm exempt from the list.
No, he is on the list.
I am a co-host of this show. I am exempt from
the you list. You are on the list. The list.
Go away.
You're at the top of the list.
Go away.
Stay tuned. So this movie, I wanted to tap out a couple of times. I could not deal with this movie.
Full disclosure, ladies and gentlemen, there were times that Leslie said, yeah, I don't want to watch it. I don't want to see anymore. And we had like 45 minutes left. Just power through. Mm-hmm. Just power through. And you did.
I did. You I powered did. Through.
You powered through.
But I kept looking at the time. I kept wanting to ask, how much longer? How much longer?
And you can ask that question all you want. I don't care.
So where did we find this movie? On Tubi?
Was it Tubi?
I think so. Because it had those commercials.
Yeah. It was Tubi.
Okay.
Jesus. That's Leslie. I'm Andrew. Welcome to Bad Movies and Booze, where we specialize in bad movies.
Yes.
And this one, oh boy. I found this one because originally we were supposed to watch Two G's and a Key.
Yes.
Unfortunately, we went to Prime Video. It's not searchable. That's one. Number two, I went to Amazon itself, and it's only in DVD format. So, two, I'm not kicking out money for a DVD that I'm going to hate.
Mm-hmm.
That's not happening.
Mm-mm.
No. So, Amazon, get your elves in gear. And please make this into a digital download.
Yes.
So we can watch this thing. Because I'm not putting out money for a DVD.
Mm-mm. And if somebody wants to send it to me, you can definitely message us. I'll give you our address and you can mail it out to us. But we're not paying for it. We'll watch it for you.
And we're not paying for
it. But we're not paying for it.
No. So in light of all of that, 2G's and a Key will be placed on hold until we're able to watch it.
Mm-hmm.
But the movie that I found on Tubi, because oddly enough, the last couple of bad movies we saw on Tubi, Tubi is suggesting terrible movies. One side, wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
Because we need those. On the other side, I want to see something good.
We're not going to see anything good.
Nope, unless I put in a search for it.
No, but that's not what we're here for.
No, we're not.
No.
So we have to endure this choice, the 2020 epic sci-fi adventure Escape 2120. So for those that are doing the math, that's about 99 years into the future.
Mm-hmm.
So it got a 3.4 out of 10 on the IMDb Richter scale. A detached orphan teen escapes to the future in suspended animation, but when he arrives at a natural utopia, he must evade a lynch mob convinced that he's the prophesied devil's child.
Yeah.
The release date was July 13, 2020. So it's pretty recent. The estimated budget, good grief, man, $40,000.
And it showed.
It damn sure showed. And the cast is small, thankfully, because you don't need it. You don't need a lot of people because it's going to get messy.
Mm-hmm.
Edward Pritchard, Samantha Ipima, Roe Pacheco, Paul Kandarian, David Affleck.
God, that guy.
Affleck. I mean, he has the look.
Oh.
He does have a Hollywood look, but man,
God.
We're going to be talking about this dude.
Mm-hmm.
Ulysses Gonçalves and Sheila Ball.
Yeah. All right. So this movie, it starts out where it's looking up into the sky and the camera pans down and there is a car upside down. And then we see this guy, his eyes are closed, and you hear his alarm clock going off. So he was dreaming about being in a car upside down. And he tries to sneak out of this place that he's in, and somebody calls him. We find out the guy's name is David, and the lady that calls him says he needs to get a job because where he's living is not an orphanage. He's an adult now. He needs to find a job. And she wants him to work for her brother. And he says he thinks he has something. he's going to go check it out right now. So then, you know, the credits are rolling. You see the opening credits and
walking montage.
Yes.
Good old David leaves what we discovered to be a boys' club.
Yes.
And the lady he was talking to was the headmistress of said boys' club.
Right.
So he's walking in town after he leaves the place. Then he walks in a park, then on a bridge, then another town, and into an alleyway. So a whole lot of walking this dude did. We don't know what time it was. His alarm went off, but we know when he gets to the alleyway of this apartment building, it's 9 in the morning. So David arrives there and he knocks on the door of apartment number 206. And he's welcomed once again. Apparently he's met these people before, Dr. Jarvis and Dr. Sally Rupert. So they welcome him into their apartment. And of course they're greeted by a French press of coffee.
Yeah.
With an I Love Paris mug. So I kind of like that. The French press was nice.
Yeah, French press was nice. I mean, I like, you know.
Yeah,
I like French presses.
We have two of them.
Yeah.
And they're used daily.
Yeah. So Dr. Jarvis Rupert is a theoretical physicist. Mm-hmm. And Dr. Sally Rupert is a behavioral psychologist.
So it got to this point where I hear who they are. I pause the movie and I'm wearing my knitted hat and I throw it on the floor and I give Leslie this dirty look. And I said, you didn't get the reference, did you? And Leslie's looking at me kind of quizzically like, what do you mean? Theoretical physicists and behavioral psychologists. Those that follow this particular show, The Big Bang Theory. We're mm-hmm. talking about Leonard Hofstadter and his mother, Beverly Hofstadter.
Yeah.
And it ticked me off.
Yeah, I don't know why that ticked you off, though.
Because I'm like, how big bang are we going to get here?
Yeah, it wasn't really about
that. No, it wasn't about that. But it's just too coincidental that I made that connection that quick.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just annoying.
So anyway, yeah, Dave thinks that he's there for drug trials. He's like, if this is a drug trial, I don't want to do it. I'm very healthy. I don't want to take any drugs. And they're like, no, it's a different type of project. Then they go into this room and the cuts in this movie.
Awful. God awful. It's and the like, acting is bad too.
I mean, yeah, the acting is very bad. Ugh. David can't act his way out of a paper bag.
Stiff.
But it's like, you know, those, I guess, stop motion music videos.
Right.
It was almost like that. It was like one point they're in one spot. And then the next moment, they're all of a sudden in a different spot. There's no type of
transition.
Right. Yeah, there's no good transition. They're talking about this box and they open this box. There's a banana, a watch, some foil, and this contraption, this little box inside of the box with 2D batteries. And he's telling them they're eating the banana.
And they're eating it real weird, like breaking off a piece and just...
And passing it.
Yeah. Like, break, pass.
Yeah. And Dave is like, what's wrong with this banana?
Oh, nothing.
And they're like, it's a year old. And he's like, he doesn't want to eat it. So then they finally have him eat it. And he realizes it's fresh.
Oh, but yes, and yes, the year old fresh banana. I'm not going to do that.
What?
I'm not eating that strange year old banana. No. But also, the doctor pulls out the watch, or rather, David pulls out the watch and notices that the watch is 1 year behind, which was really strange for him. So Jarvis Rupert, well, we'll call him Dr. Jarvis. Dr. Jarvis demonstrates his experiment and he provides instruction to David. David set the watch for 3 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
So he set it for 3 minutes. They set the little apparatus inside this foil box for 3 minutes and they put the watch back in. Same time, 3 minutes and 3 minutes on this timer. They wait 3 minutes. And next thing you know, they open the box. The watch is 3 minutes behind.
Yeah.
Which proves Dr. Jarvis's theory. I mean, theoretical physicists, I mean, of course, it's going to indicate time travel.
Yeah. So the doc tells Dave that they want him to watch the house because they are going to travel to the year 2120. And he is to be in charge of their whole estate. And they're like, you know, you don't have to make the decision right now. You could think about it. And then all of a sudden, it's the next day.
It was just weird.
Yeah. And he was at the door again. He's at the house. And there's these two pine boxes laying in the middle of the floor. And they're going to do this experiment again. And they're talking about they're going to live in a cemetery while they're doing this whole time travel thing, which I really didn't get that part. But
I mean, I guess the principle is you have these two timers that are in these two pine boxes that have these sporting good sleeping bags, the ones that look like foil, which holds heat really well, but apparently it's a great conductor for science experiments as well.
Yeah.
So you put the sleeping bag into the pine boxes, you set the timer on these little apparatuses inside the box, you have 10 seconds to get yourself laid into the sleeping bag, covered head to toe, and covered and close the pine box top.
Mm-hmm.
And the theory is, as long as everything goes well, you're able to travel into the future.
Right.
Of course, there's going to be more that goes with that science-wise that we are not privy to that information. But apparently, it worked.
Yeah. So they got in the box and then they get out of the box. I think they set it for like
24 hours.
Yeah. They set it for 24 hours just to test it. They get out of the box and they hug each other.
Success.
Yeah. And then
they celebrate.
Yeah. They start baking a cake and Doc and Dave bake this cake. And I mean, even people who can't bake can do better than this. Like,
Dave needs to stick with being awkward, and the doctor just needs to stick to theoretical physicists.
Yeah. And they put candles on this cake. It looked a whole hot mess. And they took it into Sally, and everybody was all excited about it, whatever.
I could do better with that damn cake, and I don't even bake like that.
So, yeah, they baked this cake for basically no reason at all.
Mm.
Then, I guess it's a completely different day. Again, it just warps. Time just, like, jumps. There's no transition.
Right.
And Doc goes to pick Dave up, and he tells him that he's now the executor of their estate.
Mm-hmm.
And it comes out that Dave's parents were killed in a car accident. And Dave was in the back seat of the car. So he's kind of like worried about driving because Doc was like, do you want to drive this car? It's technically yours now. And Dave is, no, he's not ready to drive.
Which I understand. I mean, something of that big of a trauma.
Yeah.
You're in the back seat of a car and your parents wind up in an accident and the car flips over. I'd be a little hesitant to, you know, grab some keys and try to drive myself.
Yeah. And so for some reason, the camera is in the back seat of this car.
Which is
while they're driving. It's very odd.
So odd.
So they drive to a pet cemetery because Doc tells Dave that they purchased a mausoleum in a pet cemetery because it's easier for them to live in a box there without questions. So I guess, like, I was thinking, why wouldn't they leave the boxes in the house? But I guess if something happened and somebody came in and opened the boxes, there'd be possibly two dead people in it.
That's true.
So,
So pet cemetery, no one's really going to look in a mausoleum for horses.
Right.
And visit the horses.
Exactly. So, the mausoleum had, it was supposed to be two spaces for horses. And it was, you know, it was pretty nice looking, whatever they got. But so they were just talking about that and how this is how they're going to live to make sure that everything is okay. So if anything does happen, they're already dead in the mausoleum anyway.
Right. So Dr. Jarvis shows David how to open a mausoleum, and they see the apparatuses that were in the apartment in the mausoleum. Mm-hmm. So on each respectful side.
Right. And they're all of a sudden back at the apartment. This is when they do the 24-hour.
Oh, right. Oh, so the first
time. The first one was like 20 minutes or something.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Dave closes the boxes again. He wants to go with them. So now while he's waiting for them to come out of the boxes, he's looking for his own mausoleum to buy.
And he turns up with nothing.
Yeah.
At one point, he got hung up on.
What a shame.
Poor kid.
So Doc and Sally, they're back, and they want to finalize things with friends. Says they're leaving Saturday. Tells Dave to come over Friday night for dinner, and they'll, just get everything in order. They're immediately at Friday night, and they're eating dinner. And Doc gives Dave a watch.
Pocket watch.
Yeah. And he's telling him about the watch and how long he's had it and all this other stuff. So,
and David made a vow to keep the watch forever.
Yeah.
That's a good kid.
So for some reason, they're packing up dishes.
Which was, I didn't get that part.
No, like, why? Because if Dave is supposed to be owning this house now.
The executor of the estate. Which right. means you're going to be taking care of things that are related to the house.
Yeah, so if you're going to stay at the house, why are you packing the boxes? Unless he decided he was going to sell the house.
That's the only logical explanation.
But either way, anyway, so they were packing dishes. So all of a sudden, Dave is back on Saturday, and he said, because he wants to go with them, but he never told them that he wants to go. So they're now at the mausoleum, and they're going over the seconds, setting everything up. It's $52 million and some change. And they say their goodbyes, and Dave closes everything up, and he's sitting in the mausoleum crying.
Poor kid. Why is he upset?
Because he wanted to go.
Oh, you can't have everything that you want, David.
Oh, gosh.
You have money.
I mean, but he's 18,
18-year-old, you got money.
They wanted everything. All want everything.
Yes, they do.
Yeah.
They do.
I mean, think about when we were 18.
I was just trying to get through college.
Yeah, you still wanted everything. I know I did.
I had a kidney transplant for the first time. I was happy. So I had basically everything that I wanted. I got an opportunity to go to college. I got a second chance at life. I really didn't want much of nothing.
I wanted everything. I was one of those. Anyway.
Yeah, we're just like trailing off.
Yeah. So Dave is now at the house sad.
You signed up for it, David. Live with the decision.
So he gets an idea, and all of a sudden he starts going through the trash for the test device. And he gives away all the money. He finds out it's supposed to be $125,000.
And some change.
Yeah. And he gives away all the money. He gives the car to the lady, the headmistress of the boys' home.
Along with that. I think he sold the car. Or did he actually gave her the car?
I saw the keys.
Oh.
So was that the keys to the house or the car?
I think you're right. It should be the keys to the car, plus also a small money bag with the back rent that he owed her.
Oh, okay.
So that makes sense. So give her a car and some money.
Yeah.
Here you go.
Yeah.
Consider this payment fulfilled.
Yeah.
And donated $125,000 to a children's hospital.
Right.
That was sweet. Nice. That was beautiful.
So then he walks by a cemetery, and he has flashbacks of his parents and their funeral and how they were going to the gravesite. And he was in the back of the car, and somebody went to go open the car door to let him out. And when they opened it, he wasn't in there. So I guess that's when he ran away and went to the boys' home.
Right. He didn't want anything to do with it.
Which
is understandable.
Yeah. So then he goes to this cave, and there's a waterfall, and he climbs into the cave.
Mm-hmm.
He puts the device in this sleeping bag that he got, and next thing you know, he's waking up, and he's climbing out of the cave. And then he's walking down a creekside, and he hears voices and sees people walking. And these people are in all brown, and they walk into a dome tent in the middle of the forest. And he goes in, and he's saying, hello, hello. Seeing if anybody's around, but nobody's answering. He doesn't know where the people went. He sees this random door, and he opens it, looks in, and then closes it. Then he sees these brown clothes in this box, and he takes an outfit. He takes one of the brown outfits, and he leaves the tent. And then he hears more voices in these two girls playing rock, paper, scissors.
Which was adorable.
And they have on brown clothes. So he goes to change. He throws the brown clothes over his regular clothes. Mm-hmm. And he walks to this other dome.
And it's a bar.
Yeah.
All right. We have drinks in the future. That's good to see.
It was stupid that there was a bar in this tent. It was dumb.
A bar in the tent in the middle of the forest.
Yeah.
That is a strange combination of words.
And the thing is, you didn't see a lot of tents. It wasn't like a bunch of tents around each other. It was just a random tent here.
And a random tent.
And a random tent there.
Here a tent, there a tent, everywhere a tent.
Oh my gosh, really?
Yes.
Really? Anyway. So, he has to pee.
After he has a drink.
Yeah.
Surprise drink.
Yeah, he asked them to surprise him because he didn't know what kind of drink to order. And he said he didn't have any money. And the guy is like, oh, you mean credits? And he sees this door and he goes in and he can't find lights. And he's like, oh, I can't whiz in the dark.
Lights on?
Yeah. Yeah, he's doing everything to try and find these lights.
Why'd he do the clapper, though? Why'd he do the clapper, though?
Why not?
I mean, then again, he came from 2020, so, you know, it's kind of relevant.
He can't figure out how to pee inside this tent. So he goes outside and he pees. And this girl named Nalia sees him. And they're talking. He apologizes. And they're talking. And then they go into this tent together or something. And he asks her, she's trying to give him food. And he's like, no. And then he asks her to point him towards Everlong. And she gets freaked out and she drops her apple. And then he runs out. He runs out of the tent. And he takes off his brown outfit and starts walking. I don't know why he takes off the brown outfit. It doesn't make any sense.
I guess he was overwhelmed. That's the only thing I could think of.
But he realizes he's in a cemetery and he goes, it starts raining. So he goes hide in this cave and Nalia finds him hiding. And she says, come with her because they'll be looking for him. And we're like, who's they? But they're talking about food. He starts talking about protein. Does she have any protein, meat? And she's like, you eat animals? So I thought that the rumors weren't true. I guess they are. And he's like, what rumors? And she says that he's the devil's child.
Which is connected to the legend of Lucy's Lair.
Yeah. So he says that he's from a different time. And he's trying to explain where he's from. And she starts talking about how the Winter Woman, there's this whole story, a legend of this Winter Woman who came looking for the devil's child. And the father came looking and ate all the animals and scattered the bones at the gate. And when they said that, I was thinking, oh, it's because they are near the pet cemetery.
Right. Which
and
makes sense.
So they're like, oh, animal bones. This must be from the devil, whatever. I don't know. And so then she starts telling the story of how she met the Winter Woman. Come to find out, she's talking about Sally.
Dr. Sally Rupert.
Right. And Sally tells the girl when the girl was little, because that's when she ran into Sally, is when she was a little kid. She got lost in the woods. And Sally tells her that the stories are a lie. He's not the devil's child. He's just lost. So Dave shows Nalia the device to have him travel. And then it cuts to night. And he obviously told her everything about how he got there. It was like another stupid transition.
I think it was explained off screen as far as David's telling Nalia his story.
Well, yeah.
And we just didn't get a chance to see it.
So. I know, but it was like, here, let me give you this device. Let me show you this device. And then it went to, do you believe my story? So it was kind of weird.
If they had like a little silhouette action and he's just like explaining things, it would have transitioned much more smoothly.
Yeah.
I agree.
It was a bad transition again. So she's like, yeah, she believes him. because she shows him that the doors that he was going into are actually teleporters. And she starts moving this screen and they end up at another waterfall and they're talking about different stuff. And he's saying he's from 2020. And she's like, oh, I must take you to the library.
Mm-hmm.
And so she takes him to the library so that she can look him up. And they find books that Sally and
Jarvis
had wrote. And then she also finds, she also gives him a kid's book about the portals so he can learn how to use them.
Hilarious.
So yeah, that was kind of funny.
My portal and me.
Yeah.
Or me and my portal. Something like that. It was funny.
So then they go back to her tent dome thing, whatever. And they're reading the books. And Nalia finds out that Doc died in 2049. And Dave doesn't understand this because he thinks he's in 2120.
No, sir, buddy.
Or Doc died in 2149. Yeah. I'm sorry.
2149.
Yeah.
Dr. Jarvis died.
Yeah. And he thinks he's in 2120.
No.
But it's actually 27... What is it?
2874.
Oh, 2874.
So that, by that logic, everyone, this puts David at least 700 years old.
Yeah.
Woo, he looked good for 700.
So then they're having a conversation about how Nalia's people don't measure time because when you teleport, it takes years off of you. So you're suspended in time when you teleport around. So the more you teleport, the younger you stay. And she has an older sister who is actually younger than her now because her older sister teleports everywhere. So then they're just talking about different stuff and they fall asleep in the tent. And when they wake up, there's these two big guys in the tent. Samuel and Jax.
Oh.
And let me tell you now, this is about when I started checking out of this movie.
It goes off the rails so fast.
Yes. Like, it was. So anyway, Samuel and Jax, they are taking David away to ask questions. And Samuel is basically the leader. And he's like, we'll talk in my office. And they keep going into these domes. And
this one dome has this wooden table and wooden chairs.
Yeah.
And it's not even office. It's just, you're going to come to my tent.
Yeah. Yeah. Tent with tables. That's about it.
Not before Samuel and David trade quips and barbs.
Yeah.
It was terrible. Terrible.
Terrible.
God awful.
That's why I didn't write any of it down.
Yeah, you checked out. I know you emotionally and mentally checked out.
So much. I mean, I didn't write a lot of the scripting down because it was just so bad.
I looked at you and you had this look like, screw this, I'm going home. Oh, wait a minute. Bad. I'm already here.
So they take David away to ask questions.
So I'm trying to figure, is Sam a cop? Is Samuel a cop?
No.
No, he's not.
Not at all.
No.
So they think he's the devil's child. And Samuel, when I tell you he is such a horrible actor, he is so overdramatic. He's so over the top.
Oh, relax, relax. He sounds like a bad version of Jack Nicholson.
It was really bad. It was so bad. It was bad. So they're telling him that, you know, he is definitely the devil's child. Why is he here at this time? Why does he have this stuff? And they went through his bag and they found a fishing lure and wire and is like, oh, this is to catch fish because he eats animals.
And this other thing is to gut it.
Yeah.
I'm like, wait, so first up, Samuel.
Yeah, how do you know all this?
It's 2874. How do
especially
you
especially
know?
For people who don't eat fish, who don't eat animals.
Don't eat animals at all.
How do you know?
Oh, give us a minute on this one.
Yeah. For some reason, they take him off to this other area.
Mm-hmm.
And there's this lady named Samantha,
mm-hmm.
who also cannot act.
terrible.
So thankfully she only has a couple of lines, but she even delivers those horribly. And she has on this NASA suit, looking suit. Right. It's like FASA. It's so such FASA. Fake.
So fake Aeronautic and Space Administration.
Yes. Oh, exactly. Snap. Exactly.
Love, oh, epic.
And she says her other teammates are coming, and she does this weird point to this screen, and it's like they're in a planetarium.
But exactly. It's not.
Yeah. So these words, this picture and these words go across the screen of this planetarium that they're in. And
Cody.
Yeah, Cody shows up.
Hey, Cody.
Yeah.
Love so, the hair, baby.
She sends Cody and Dave into this metal pod, and Cody and Dave, they're back to back for some reason, and they're floating through space.
And David is absolutely mind blown.
Yeah, because it's supposed to look really good.
And it was out of this world.
Yeah.
Yes, that pun was made.
Yeah. So then he goes back, and Samuel takes Dave back into his office, and there's now several other guys in there.
Associates and, of yeah, Samuel.
Yeah, and Samuel, because it's not Sam.
Or Sammy.
Yeah, they never David say Sam.
David is the only one that calls him Sammy because he wants to get under this guy's skin, yeah, which he does successfully.
But Sam introduces Dave as the new member of Space Exploration Gamma. And Dave is like, I don't know what you're talking about. I'm not signing up for anything. And Sam says they cannot allow fear into their peaceful world. So he's trying to send David away into space.
To kill him.
Basically.
Essentially to just like shoot him off and kill him.
So two of the guys pull out guns that they had upside down. They didn't know what they were doing with these things. It was really stupid.
You could tell those guys are 700 years into the future and don't know how to hold a gun.
Yeah. So Jax is in front of the teleporter door. And Dave is like, are you going to handcuff me? Are you going to do this? Are you going to do that? And he's trying to tell Jax to move out of the way. And Jax doesn't move. And then he pushes Jax out of the way and jumps into the teleporter and goes to Nalia. And the other guys are looking for him. Nalia takes him to the Grand Canyon. And she's like, you have to hold this teleporter door open so nobody else can use it to get to us. So then they're standing in this bad CGI of the Grand Canyon.
With some sort of weird tapestry, weird poster background
yeah,
of the Grand Canyon.
Yeah. Mm. And we're back to Sam and Jax.
They have a conversation in Samuel's office.
Right.
Where Samuel is sitting at the table with two eggs.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, you're sitting with eggs. All right. And he has this little hammer. Kind of like when you poach an egg, you tap that little hammer on there, something like that. He taps the one egg and he eats the raw egg inside, yeah, much to Jack's discomfort.
Yeah, Jax is really disgusted by this.
Disgusted, uncomfortable. He looked like he about ready to do a number three.
So he's asking Jax if he really wants to be in the Brotherhood. Where this Brotherhood thing came from, we don't know.
It must be some Illuminati BS.
Yeah, and Sam is calling himself the Supreme Brother. And then we're back to Nalia and Dave, and they have a fire going. And they're having random conversations about absolutely nothing.
Seinfeld.
Yeah. And then Dave says he knows what he has to do. He has to go back to the cave. And Nalia says that she can't go with him. Which, fine, whatever. So they fall asleep, and Nalia wakes him up and says they have to go because they're looking. The people are coming or whatever. So Dave decides he needs to return the clothes and go back to the cave.
Which is understandable. You want to put back as much as the stuff that you changed to where it was before.
Right.
Because time travel.
But for some reason, Nalia and Dave switch outfits.
So Nalia got a memento of David to remember him by, which is sweet. It is the whole outfit. The whole outfit. Shirt, denims.
Everything.
And the chucks.
And the red chucks.
Should have been pearls with that.
Oh, gosh. Anyway, people saw them switching clothes and freaked out about it. So now they're running again. And we cut to Sam. He's playing with handcuffs and is happy to find out that there's no key. He's like, perfect. There's no key. This will work perfectly. Anyway, Nalia and Dave say the goodbyes. Dave starts walking through the woods. Nalia goes into the cave thing that Dave was in before. And Sam finds her, says that they're looking for Dave. And for some reason, Dave is now at his parents' graveside.
Which is beyond me. You're 700 years into the future, but you conveniently found your parents' grave.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't make sense.
Nope. So he tells them that he's done running.
Good for you, boy. It's about time you start standing up.
Then, I don't know how or why, but Nalia is now in her tent and she's asleep. And she has on the brown clothes and not Dave's outfit.
That doesn't make sense either.
No.
I don't get that.
Dave somehow has his chucks on again, which
that
was really made no sense. But then Sam and his goons go into Nalia's tent. They flip her out of the tent and they're asking, where's Dave?
Put her out of the bed.
Flip her out of the bed. And then they end up tasing her. Sam tases her.
How do you have a taser 700 years into the future? Oh, we know why. Because there is apparently an archive
of artifacts.
20th and 21st century artifacts
that
happen to still work.
Yeah.
I mean, the handcuffs weren't rusty.
No.
There's still some battery life left in the taser.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. So now Sam has Nalia handcuffed and says that Nalia is the devil's child. So they're having this whole discussion around with his group, and he's basically acting like he's a judge or a lawyer or whatever.
Governor.
Yeah. Yeah. For some reason, Jax calls him governor.
Governor.
Like, but he was supposed to be the supreme brother. So how is he now governor?
Supreme brother governor.
Yeah, basically.
And if you hadn't figured it out by now, given that the 20th and 21st century artifacts are being utilized by this dude and egg sucking by this dude.
Well, no, he's not. He's not. Because remember, the whole story went away about the devil's child. There was no such thing anymore. Exactly. 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 That's why it was.
You see the look on my face.
That's why it was really stupid.
Oh, jeez.
He should have been.
He is. I maintain that he is.
So I think they were trying to make Sam actually the devil's child, but by the time they finished writing,
it fell through.
They didn't finish that storyline.
Yeah.
So it made the rest of the story really dumb. So anyway, now Dave goes to the mausoleum and he finds Sally.
Hey, Dr. Sally. She's alive.
He puts this, he tries to open a mausoleum with this stick at first. And he somehow sees these wires hanging out. So he takes his D battery and sticks it to the wires. And he's like hoping that it works. And then he starts crying because it wasn't working. But then it starts opening slowly. Sally comes out with a lantern.
Sally is the one that opened the door. He did the whole battery thing for show. And then it just happened. My theory is, the wires were to Sally's apparatus. He powered it up and that caused her to return and be able to open the mausoleum door.
I guess.
That's the only way that it makes sense.
It doesn't make sense either.
It doesn't make sense, but it makes sense.
So she comes out of the tomb and she says that Jarvis is alive. And then we're back with Sam and they're still questioning Nalia. Then we're back with Dave, and Sally says there's more he needs to know. And Sally and Dave have this whole I don't understand conversation about how Dave needs to get in the box, but not yet because Jarvis needs to come out of the box and they can't see each other at the same time. And it didn't make any sense to me. The
story went off the rails here.
Yeah.
As far as that particular piece, it went way off the rails and it made zero
sense. It made no sense at all.
Zero.
Yeah, I don't understand what happened. So then Sally had to put Dave in the box so he could come back real fast or whatever. I don't know.
I think she had to put David in the box in order to get Dr. Jarvis to come out. Then they're able to get David out from there.
I don't know. But anyway, Sam is now turning on Jax. I don't know why, but now he decides that he needs to send both Jax and Nalia into space.
I think it's more so that Jax had a little too many questions for Samuel, and Samuel just didn't like that. It's a go along, get along versus ask me questions and, you know, you're going to face the consequences.
Right. So he's trying to put both Nalia and Jax into the metal
space
planetarium thing.
Yeah, the gamma.
Yeah. Yeah. So he's about to tase Nalia, and Jax jumps in front and he tases Jax. Jax looks like he dies. It didn't look like it was just regular tasing.
That must have been a super tase.
Yeah, he looked like he died. His eyes was open. And he just fell back.
He pushed him and he fell back. Yeah, you either got stiff or you got stiff.
Yeah, because they were only showing his feet. And then, he made this weird look. And then he asked Nalia if she was going to do this the hard way or the easy way or whatever.
The hard way or the easy way.
So
that's his acting the whole day.
So
that's
bad.
Samuel's acting. The hard way or the easy way. I'm like, you're talking like Triple H and Macho Man had a kid.
Yeah.
And they have a speech impediment.
It was bad.
Shout out to Triple H and Macho Man Randy Savage.
Gosh. So we cut back to Dave, and he tells Sally that the legend has to end.
Mm-hmm.
He got in the box and then got right back up. Like, he laid down and got back up. And Sally was like, oh, we found you.
What the
hell? And I'm like, what? You were sitting right here.
The whole time.
How
did you lose him that fast? He was only gone for like 3 seconds. What kind of shit?
So then, for some reason, she's like, we have to now get Jarvis. And Jarvis comes out of the box. And then they're in the mausoleum and they're looking out of it.
Reunited.
Yeah, all three of them.
Yay.
And it's this whole futuristic scene with flying cars and tall buildings. So I'm guessing they're in 2120.
As the movie suggests, but no, it's 2149.
Yeah.
The year, ironically, that Dr. Jarvis dies.
Right. So then David says he has to go back. He can't stay there. He has to go back. So he, all of a sudden, we're back to young Nalia in the woods by herself.
Right.
And David comes up behind her and he's telling her she can't be out here alone and everything. And he's like, I'll walk you back to your house. So he goes and walks her outside of the woods and she waves. She's like, thank you, sir, or whatever, or something like that. And then he goes back to the bar and he gets apple juice.
Surprise me.
Yeah.
And this time, yes, apple juice, which was completely off. It looked like beer. I was like,
it did look like beer.
Like, looked like a flat beer. And he said, apple juice. Oh, wait a minute. What the hell did you do?
So then he's asking if the bartender has ever heard of Lucy's Lair. And they're like, no, because that was part of the whole Devil's Child conspiracy or whatever. So then he goes out. And he sees Nalia and he walks over to her like grown up Nalia and walks over to her and starts talking to her. So they've never heard of this story, Devil's Child. So he actually did get rid of this legend. Which
we don't know how the hell he did it. And that's how the movie ends.
Yeah. So if the movie, if the telling of the movie went off the rails, is because that we told you how the movie went.
And it went off the rails.
Exactly how the movie went.
It went off the rails.
It did. So that was the movie. And we're sorry.
I apologize yes. for picking this piece of shit movie. So, but we needed something to watch.
Yeah,
we did. We really needed something to watch.
So if you want to watch it, like we said, it was on Tubi. You can definitely look it up.
Free with ads.
Yep. And you'll need those breaks, those ad breaks. This is the only time that you'll be happy to have advertising in the middle of a movie.
Amen to that.
Yes. All right. So next week, we're not sure yet what we're going to come up with, but we'll come up with something. We're not going to have any talent at the end of this. We're hoping that soon other people will bring their talents to us so that we can show them off.
Yes, we would love to hear what you could do. You could just tell a story, tell some poetry, sing something. Something yes. that's of great talent that our ears and the ears of our subscribers and listeners can enjoy.
Exactly.
We would love that.
Yes.
Please.
Please.
I'm begging you. And of course, thank you for listening to another crazy episode of Bad Movies and Booze where, you know, it's 2120, but it turned into 2149 and then 2874.
Yes.
With bad conspiracies. These are the type of movies that we find where the script is off the rails.
Yeah.
Written, directed, and possibly edited by the same dude.
Mm-hmm.
That's what that was.
Yes.
But of course, and as with any and anything and everything, no matter how old you are, well, of course, you have to be at the legal drinking age of your respective city and state. We just ask you to please, oh, please drink responsibly and tune in next week for another episode. And with that, we say
cheers.